Big news coming next week. I'll tell you all about it.
I'm gonna catch a train to Mexico.
I'm Tom Hoos from Earlton, New York, and I'm listening to WGXC Acra, New York.
Oh dear, I really want to go upstate.
Well, I gotta put some gas in the car, you know, they're still rationing down here.
Oh honey, I want to go up and see the 20-somethings upstate. They can't get jobs and they're not washed. I'm going to bring a washcloth and a bit of my favorite lavender soap.
Oh, I love that lavender soap, honey. It really smells delicious on you.
Oh, think of how it will smell on the 20-somethings. They are so cute when they're sleeping in their cars.
Battlefield Earth, every Tuesday night from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Wave Farm programs are made possible, in part, by the New York State Council on the Arts, with the support of Governor Andrew Cuomo and the New York State Legislature, the National Endowment for the Arts, the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts, the Greene County Legislature through the County Initiative Program administered in Greene County by the Greene County Council on the Arts, the Alexander and Marjorie Hoover Foundation, the Foundation for Contemporary Arts, the T. Backer Fund, the Joseph Family Charitable Trust, and hundreds of other generous individual donors.
All Together Now airs Monday through Saturday, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia Counties and
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
You've tuned in to All Together Now, WGXC's regional look at the news from Hudson Valley and the Capital Region, from the Catskills to the Berkshires and beyond. I'm Tom Rowe, and today you'll hear all sorts of local news updates, weather, interviews, and more, plus community events and the song of the day on All Together Now.
This is the news. This is the network. Network. This is the news. This is the news. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
We take you now to
this radio broadcast.
You are tuned in to All Together Now, a collaborative one-hour news show for community radio stations in the Capital Region and New York's Hudson Valley. All Together Now features contributions from the public, along with programmers at WOOC in Troy and WGXC in Acre, featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. I'm Philip Grant. Bill Williams is reporting for WCTW-FM, The Cat. The marketing website NewYorkUpstate.com has published a list of the 50 fastest shrinking towns in upstate New York. Two Columbia County communities that made the list, the village of Chatham was listed at number 44, and the city of Hudson at number 26. Chatham Village made the lineup because it has seen a 6.38% decrease in population since 2010 and a 1.07% change since 2016. The city of Hudson reported 7.19% fewer residents in 2010 and just under 1% fewer people in 2016.
The list was compiled based on the latest 2017 population estimates from the U.S. Census. The new data was released in May, and NewYorkUpstate.com compared 2017 data to 2010 data to rank the cities and towns shrinking at the fastest rate. The village of Morrisville in Madison County ranked first on the NewYorkUpstate.com's list, reporting a nearly 20% loss in population since 2010. No community in Greene County made the list. And you can read the full story at 985thecat.iheart.com. Richard Moody is reporting for the Columbia Greene Media. The Columbia County Board of Supervisors voted June 13th to ban the sale and possession of small fireworks countywide. The decision comes one year after the state legislature approved a law that permitted the sale and use of sparkling devices, but gave the counties the power to opt out and prohibit sparklers. As authorized by the supervisors, local law number 3 bans cylindrical fountains, cone fountains, wooden sparkler or dipsticks, party poppers, and snappers. The Firemen's Association of the State of New York advises against the use of sparklers. The association cited a report from the National Fire Protection Association that found sparklers accounted for approximately 28% of all fireworks injuries in 2010. Objections to the law raised by individual supervisors included concern over the use of resources to enforce the legislation and the loss of potential sales tax revenue. Those in support of the measure said it would protect firefighters due to the fire danger posed by the devices. Under the new Columbia County law, violators will face varying degrees of criminal charges and fines. Greene County approved legislation in 2016 legalizing the sale and use of sparklers. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Pat Doxey is reporting in the Daily Freeman. The Ulster County Sheriff's Office took in, between 2014 and 2017, nearly $900,000 in commissions from Inmate Calling Solutions, LLC, the Texas-based company that provides secure telephone service at the jail, according to the Finance Commissioner, Bert Gulnick. The revenues are generated when those in custody place calls to anyone outside of the facility. Under the terms of the county's agreement with Inmate Calling Solutions, the person in custody pays 22 cents per minute per phone call, but with the addition of various fees and local, county, state, and federal taxes, the cost of a 10-minute telephone call can ultimately total more than $10. The county receives the 55% of the gross income generated by those calls, with a guaranteed monthly minimum income to the jail of $13,500. Jail Warden John Becker said the revenue received is used to offset the jail budget. Becker said the department has used the funds to replace 2 Corrections Department vehicles, purchase new body armor, ammunition and badges, and canine supplies, among other items. Less than $10,000 of the funds generated is spent on those in the county's custody. There is no restriction on how the jail spends commissions generated through telephone calls, according to the State Commission on Corrections. Advocates for the incarcerated are calling the cost of the calls exorbitant and argue the policy hits hardest the poorest, in some instances forcing them to choose between paying bills and staying in touch with a loved one. And you can read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Chris McKenna is reporting for The Fray. U.S. Representative John Faso and Sean Patrick Maloney each saw proposals they backed included in a bill combating the opioid crisis approved by the House on a vote of 353-52 June 14th. Republican Faso sponsored a measure intended to restrict the mailing of synthetic opioids like fentanyl from China and other countries by enabling postal authorities to track and to intercept packages from known sources before they are sent to the U.S. Democrat Maloney's contribution was a new requirement that the federal government publish an annual report on internet opioid sales and the covert websites that peddle the drugs. Maloney said, and I quote, "The fact that we don't even know the extent of this problem is just crazy to me," end quote. Faso said in a statement, and I quote, "I am encouraged that we came together to craft a real solution to this problem that is realistic, implementable, and effective. This is a big step in our fight to rid our communities of deadly synthetic drugs such as fentanyl," end quote. Read the full story at The Fray, Politics in the Hudson Valley and Catskills.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News. For more information, weather reports, and town meetings, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Graham. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow. Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region. From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 5 p.m. today. Some of those storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. It will be mostly cloudy and hot, with a temperature high near 93 degrees and a heat index value as high as 99 degrees. There'll be a southwest wind at 11 to 13 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. New rainfall accounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. As for tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely mainly between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. And some of those storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. It will be cloudy with a temperature of around 68 degrees and a west wind at 3 to 7 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation tonight is 70%, with new rainfall accounts between a quarter and a half of an inch possible. Your forecast for the next 2 days: Tuesday, it will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 56. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 58. Sunrise today was at 5:16 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:35 p.m. That gives us 15 hours and 18 minutes of daylight, 12 seconds more than yesterday. This has been the WGXC Hands-On Radio Weather Update. For news and more information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org.
I was toting my pack along the dusty Winnemucca Road, when along came a semi with a high-end canvas covered load.
When you're tired of your toys and of your games and of the television, when you're done with chores and homework, then it's time to make a big decision. You might need a change of scenery. It might be time to go over mountains, over oceans, through dark jungles down below. On an airplane, on a railroad, on a tall ship with the tide, all you need is a little music. How's about it? What do you say we buckle up and go for a little ride?
Let's go everywhere, man. Let's go everywhere, man.
I've been everywhere, man. I've been everywhere, man. Covered load. If you're going to Winnemucca, man, with me you can ride. So I climbed into the cab and then I settled down inside. He asked me if I'd seen a road with so much dust and sand. And I said, listen, bud, I've traveled every road in this here land. I've been everywhere, man, I've been everywhere, man. Across the deserts bare, man, I breathe the mountain air, man. I've traveled, I've had my share, man, I've been everywhere.
Been a- I wander everywhere.
I've been to
Ica,
Copic,
Cairo,
Catskill, Greenport, Claverack, Kinderhook,
Maryville,
Germantown,
Windham,
Greenville,
Schoharie,
Green County,
Patrick, Ashland,
Chatham,
and East Durham,
Athens,
Haynes Falls, Hunter,
and, Coxsackie,
Preston Hollow, Oak Hill,
Ankrum,
Great Barrington,
Hawthorne Valley,
New Baltimore, and
Hudson, New York.
I breathe the mountain air, man. Travel, I've had my share, man. I've been everywhere.
Told me. Ooh, ooh.
I've been everywhere. I've been to
Ica,
Copic,
Cairo,
Catskill, Greenport.
Hello, this is Rob Gellis with This Week in History, a chronicle of significant or infamous events in art, science, music, literature, sports, and more that occurred this week either in the near or distant past. This week, we look at the events that happened on June 17th through June 22nd. On June 17th, 1959, Eamon de Valera was elected president of the Irish Republic. His political career covered more than 50 years. Previously, he had served as head of the government's executive council. It was under De Valera's leadership that Irish rebels occupied parts of Dublin in the unsuccessful 1916 Easter Uprising. On June 18, 1963, African-American students in Boston staged a boycott of junior and senior high schools. The schools they attended were overcrowded and segregated. Several years later, Boston integrated its public schools. On June 19, 1917, King George V of Great Britain decreed that the royal family change its surname from Saxe-Coburg-Gotha to the House of Windsor. This was done because of the anti-German mood within Britain during World War I. On June 20th, 1782, the Great Seal of the United States of America was adopted by Congress. It was designed by Charles Thomas, who made a drawing of an American bald eagle as a centerpiece and placed a shield upon its breast. The eagle holds an olive branch and a bundle of 13 arrows. Thomas said these symbols represented the power of peace and war, including a scroll with the motto, E Pluribus Unum, out of many, one. On June 21st, 1788, New Hampshire became the ninth state to ratify the U.S. Constitution. It was the last state needed for the Constitution to be accepted as law governing the United States of America. On June 22nd, 1944, President Franklin D. Roosevelt signed the GI Bill of Rights to provide financial assistance to veterans returning from World War II. The bill provided a wide range of rights and money to help veterans who went to war and included education, jobs, and home loans. You have been listening to This Week in History, a twice-monthly broadcast of historic events on WGXC 90.7 FM. If you have an event that you would like to hear included in This Week in History, email me, Rob Gellis, at info@wgxc.org.
What's your favorite local radio station?
WGXC.
Thank you. Yeah. What? You can come closer. Yeah, come on. I'm not going to bite. He might, but I'm not going to. You know Kamal? Oh, there you go. Hey, hey, hey. Well, which show do you like more? Wednesday or Thursday?
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth. You can, I can take it. I can take it. I can take it.
Ours.
You know, this is...
I guess.
It's just so good.
how often have they had you on the show? How often have they had you on?
Well,
whenever you want.
Oh, now it's whenever you want. Hey, how you doing? What's your name?
Stu.
Stu.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. I hear you're going to go into farming, or already into farming.
Yeah, I'm into farming.
Yeah. So, Michelle, in case you know, is Michelle Hughes, who is the coordinate local? I forget
National
your
title. Young Farmers.
National Young Farmers Market. I know.
They'll
it's not.
Get it right.
I know.
It's a lot of people. People want to call us association, but we're a coalition of farmers from all around the country.
All around the country. The entire country, Kamal.
Wow.
The entire country. And not old farmers. Screw those old farmers.
Well, no. We want to help them too.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, of course. But you know, a lot of them are retiring and want to retire.
Land stays in that. That's what we want.
And we can continue to have good food.
My fiance.
I bet you you're here to give money to your favorite local radio station.
I always do give.
Okay.
And we appreciate that.
And have you this time?
No, not yet.
Well, you might. Oh. In case you're wondering why that sounds funny, this lady is eating an apple while she's talking to us.
No.
And drinking coffee. What?
Are we on the radio?
Yes, we are.
We're live.
This is how you don't even need a microphone anymore. You can do it with a little phone like this. Isn't that amazing? I know. People our age don't get it. The young people understand it. Wait. Oh, you mean you're younger than me? I'm sorry. Oh, I'm beyond.
75.
Oh, really? My expiration date ran a while back. But I'm hanging in. So, what? Questions?
The shirts.
$20, and the one's yours.
Can I see what it looks like?
Which one? They've got different, I think. Oh, yeah, we got all different kinds.
Oh, they're all different?
Well, is that okay? I don't know. You got a choice.
You really have to make a decision.
This one? This is sort of the hippie version, or kind of California beach version. This is my favorite in semaphore. That's pretty cool, don't you think? And that's a small. That's got your name on it.
Yeah, but
those are the three styles. We have shirts here, folks. $20 a piece for your contribution to WGXC.
Thank you
so
much.
Oh, you scared me.
Yeah, I watch my language.
That was my favorite part of the show.
Okay, Stu.
Yeah.
But what's your name so I can make sure
Nora.
You do it? Nora. Lynn, make sure somebody named Nora contributes.
Sam's a good friend of mine.
Sam Sebring?
Yes.
Sam Sebring, not in the house. We love Sam. What?
What's your name?
Tom.
Are you Tom?
No, I'm not Tom Rowe.
Okay.
Oh, no, not the great Tom on high. I'm the great Tom on low. The Thursday afternoon Tom.
Thursday Tom.
And the Wednesday, Wednesday Slay Diddy.
Yes.
You know the Wednesday afternoon show?
No.
You don't listen to that? Some people think it's the best show on the air.
It is. Could be biased.
Yeah, it could be biased. Hello, sir. Have you contributed to your favorite local radio station?
Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, heard weekday mornings here at 8 o'clock on WGXC 90.7 FM. WGXC is hosting its pledge drive, and we need your support. Help keep hands-on creative community radio alive in your region by calling 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. Or you can pledge online with your tax-deductible pledge at wgxc.org/donate. That's wgxc.org/donate. Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
It's time for Hudson River Stories. Each week, we tell tales of the Hudson River to our friend Henry the Hudson Whale. His name is spelled with an I, not a Y. He's not related to that other Henry Hudson guy. The Stevens Institute reports. Temperatures this week in the Hudson River at Skodak Island were between 69 and 72 degrees. Slightly warmer than last week. Brian Nearing reports in the Albany Times-Union that divers removed a sunken barge from the bottom of the Hudson River at the port of Queemans last week. Scuba divers used underwater cutting equipment to get the barge, which sunk there in February while tied up at the port, out of the river, according to U.S. Coast Guard Petty Officer Steve Strohmeyer. Full of construction and demolition debris, the barge was too heavy to be refloated. So it was cut up underwater and lifted out in sections. It was owned by Carver Laraway LLC, which also owns the port of Queemans. George McHugh, the general counsel to the company, said the vessel was leased to a third party, which he would not identify. He also wouldn't say exactly what was on the vessel. John Lipscomb, who operates the Hudson patrol boat for the environmental group Riverkeeper, said that it was important to find out what polluted the Hudson River with the sinking. Read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. Have you bumped into any boats down there, Henry? Alexander S. Levine reports in the New York Times that the Hudson River is not supposed to be crystal clear. Quote, "A lot of people look at the river and talk about it looking dirty, and obviously it's not like pictures of the Caribbean," unquote, said Nina Hitchings of the River Project, a New York City group. Quote, "There is a lot of algae and phytoplankton and zooplankton in the water column, making this a super productive ecosystem and making this a nursery for fish. Hundreds of years ago, before many people came, it would have been the same color," unquote. June is spawning season in the Hudson River estuary. There are at least 60 species of fish in the river, according to the story. The striped bass is the predator at the top of the Hudson River food chain, and the three-spined stickleback may be the most ferocious fish, with three sharp spines beneath its dorsal fin that can be used as a weapon against predators. Read the full story in the New York Times. News 10 in Albany reports that there are now six signs with historical information on the Rip Van Winkle Bridge over the Hudson River. That's part of the Hudson River Skywalk Project, which links the Thomas Cole House National Historic Site in Catskill with the Alana State Historic Site in Greenport. The signs include information about the Hudson River School of Art, Cole, and 19th century painter Frederick Church, who lived at Alana. See more about the signs at the News 10 in Albany website. This has been Hudson River Stories. Tune in again next week for more Tales of the Hudson River with our friend Henry the Hudson Whale.
WGXC needs you. Can you be entertaining and engaging while being informative? Are you interested in all things local? News, politics, and culture? Well, WGXC 90.7 FM is looking for people to host its morning shows, the hands-on community radio magazine show. Our hosts love having an audience, are capable of multitasking, and are slow to panic. No radio experience is necessary. We're looking for diamonds in the rough. Before taking to the airwaves, you will be thoroughly trained and then set free to create compelling radio for listeners throughout Greene and Columbia counties. For more information, contact Lynn at WGXC.org or simply send an email inquiry to apply at WGXC.org. WGXC needs you.
Tune in to All Together Now, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Tune in to learn more about the issues that affect communities throughout the Capital Region and the Hudson Valley, from the Catskills to the Berkshires.
My name is James.
My name is Echo.
You are listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acra.
Pyramid Power. Amplified thought forms. Sounds from this planet and others. Featuring space news with reports from the field. Pyramid Power. First Monday nights from 9:30 to midnight on WGXC Acra with me, SVB.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Amanda Purcell is reporting for Columbia Green Media. Police arrested Hudson resident Mohammed H. Morshed early June 18th in connection with the shooting death of 19-year-old Enderley Instanville the previous night. Hudson Police Chief L. Edward Moore said Instanville of Philmont was shot about 8:18 p.m. June 17th in an apartment building at 20 Fairview Avenue near the Stewart's Shop at the intersection of Green Street. Instanville, who previously lived in Hudson, presumably died from a gunshot wound to the neck. The results of an autopsy are forthcoming. Morshed was taken into custody in Kingston. The shooting occurred less than 2 weeks after a series of raids were conducted by Hudson and Greenport and later billed as a preemptive strike intended to keep the city streets safe this summer. Various incidents of targeted violence occurred at locations on Hudson's north side in August 2017. The disturbances ended following a series of federal arrests later in the year. And you can read the full story at HudsonValley360.com. Jimmy Vilken is reporting for Politico New York. Stephanie Miner, the former mayor of Syracuse and a longtime critic of Governor Andrew M. Cuomo, has announced that she will create the Serve America Movement Party and run on that line for governor in November. Miner said in a press release, and I quote, "I'm running to change the culture of cynicism. Nobody believes Albany has their best interest at heart. Everybody knows you have to pay to play. They think the system is rigged, and they're not wrong," end quote. She has called for an increase in state money for infrastructure programs and been a staunch critic of Cuomo's economic development policies, including facilities built by SUNY Polytechnic Institute that are the focus of a federal trial this week. According to the New York Times, Miner has discussed financial support with Joe Rose, a former aide to Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, as well as the larger Serve America movement, which was formed by people unhappy with the results of the 2016 election. And you can read that full story at Politico New York. The MidHudsonNews.com is reporting on a recent analysis of regional data showing that it is becoming more and more difficult to afford rent in the Hudson Valley with the level of income the average person or family is earning. Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress looked at data contained in the recently released National Low Income Coalition annual report, Out of Reach. In Columbia County, a family would have to earn $38,000 a year to afford a two-bedroom apartment costing $951 per month. Based on an hourly wage of $10.33 per hour, there would be a $414 monthly gap between income and rent. In Greene County, the story is similar, where the gap in rent is $460 per month. Joe Chica, Senior Vice President of Pattern and Executive Director for the Center of Housing Solutions, said in all nine counties in the Hudson Valley, renters must work far more than a full-time job to afford the cost of a two-bedroom apartment. New York Alert is reporting the National Weather Service in Albany has issued a heat advisory for the region from 11 a.m. until 8 p.m. Monday. A heat advisory means that a period of hot temperatures is expected. The combination of hot temperatures and high humidity levels will result in the potential for heat-related illnesses if proper precautions are not taken. The National Weather Service advises drinking plenty of fluids, staying in an air-conditioned room if possible, staying out of the sun, and checking up on relatives and neighbors. National Grid is anticipating a high energy demand June 18th and have asked customers to reduce electric usage between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m.
The utility recommends turning down thermostats by a few degrees, avoiding the use of large appliances and window air conditioners, and not running a pool pump or dehumidifier during peak hours. Bethany Bump is reporting for the Times Union that State Health Commissioner Howard Zucker said a study ordered by Governor Andrew M. Cuomo has recommended the legalization of marijuana for adult use in New York. He said at a meeting with medical marijuana practitioners in Brooklyn, and I quote, "I will finalize that report and obviously bring it to the governor," end quote. The Department of Health was ordered to study the public health, safety, and economic impact of a regulated marijuana trade statewide, as well as the impact that legalization in neighboring states would have. 9 states, including Massachusetts, Vermont, and Maine, as well as Washington, D.C., have legalized the drug, while New Jersey is exploring the possibility. Canada is on the verge of legalizing the drug. Zucker also announced June 18th that anyone with an opioid prescription can now qualify for the state's medical marijuana program, a move designed to prevent opioid addiction. And you can read the full story in the Times Union. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio News Update. For weather reports, town meetings, and more information, use the WGXE website, WGXE.org. Next, we have these reports.
Here is the week in Congressman John Faso news. Votes he took, positions he espoused, and protest rallies and town halls that he attended or not. The website 538.com currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.6% of the time, up slightly from last week.
The American Farm Bureau reports that the U.S. Senate begins marking up their version of the Farm Bill on June 13th. In the U.S. House of Representatives, John Faso voted for their version of the Farm Bill May 18th, but not enough of his fellow Republicans joined him, and it failed, 198 to 213. It did not pass there because conservative Republicans used the Farm Bill as a bargaining chip to get a vote in an immigration bill, and because no Democrats voted for the bill, because Republicans added more work requirements for recipients of food stamps. There was a May 3rd pray-in outside Faso's Kingston office protesting his vote for that version of the bill. The existing farm bill expires this fall. The 7 Democrats in the congressional primary June 26 for New York's 19th district are now in the stunt campaign portion of the election. The Daily Freeman reports that Pat Ryan is marching from the home of President Franklin D. Roosevelt in Hyde Park to U.S. Representative John Faso's district office in Kingston Saturday, June 16th. Ryan says he's doing the march to demand action to end gun violence, but he and other candidates are attempting to stand out in the crowded field. The Times Union reported that David Clegg began a 3-day, 200-mile bike trip June 6, visiting a number of pollution hotspots in the district on the way. Gareth Rhodes has been at this longer, visiting all 163 towns and cities in the district before the June 26 vote. Aaron Collier, Jeff Beals, Antonio Delgado, and Brian Flynn are also running in the June 26 election, with the winner facing incumbent John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in November. Local Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, and New York Senator Chuck Schumer don't always agree, and Faso and President Trump don't often disagree. 538.com website currently reports Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 88.3% of the time. But this week, both Faso and Schumer tweeted against Trump's position that Russia should rejoin the G7 conference as the G8. Faso tweeted, and I quote, "President Trump is wrong to suggest bringing Putin's Russia back to G7 nations. Russia continues to be a malign influence around the world and should be excluded until it alters its behavior," end quote. Schumer agreed, tweeting, and I quote, "Readmitting Russia to the G7 would reward Vladimir Putin for actions the U.S. and its allies have condemned and would clearly be contrary to Americans' interests. The president's foreign policy decision-making seems to become more erratic every day," end quote. Russia was kicked out of the G8 after invading Ukraine and shooting down a passenger airplane. Dan Friedman reports in the Albany Times-Union that opinion is split among local representatives after President Donald Trump's meeting with North Korea dictator Kim Jong-un in Singapore.
Trump agreed to end military exercises on the Korean Peninsula and invite a dictator to the U.S. while receiving a vague promise of more negotiations. Representative John Faso, Republican of Kinderhook, said, and I quote, President Trump and the administration should be commended for groundbreaking efforts with the ultimate goal of denuclearizing the Korean Peninsula. There is a lot of work to be done and many potential obstacles. However, there is a renewed sense of optimism that this time negotiations will yield a different result, end quote. New York Senator Chuck Schumer disagreed on the Senate floor June 12th, and I quote, by granting a meeting with Chairman Kim, President Trump has granted a brutal and repressive dictatorship the international legitimacy it has long craved. For the United States, it's permanent proof that we have legitimized a brutal dictator who has starved his own people. If the United States is unable to win concrete, lasting concessions from North Korea, the meeting alone will be a victory for Kim Jong-un. New York's other Senator Kirsten Gillibrand tweeted, and I quote, I hope North Korea is serious about this effort and determined to join the international community. And I encourage the Trump administration to do the hard work of getting a strong, verifiable agreement. End quote. And you can read the full story in the Albany Times-Union. In a June 12 press release, Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, and I quote, applauded the passage of H.R. 5685, the Medicare Opioid Safety Education Act of 2018, by voice vote, end quote. The bill only passed in the U.S. House and needs Senate and presidential approval to become law. Faso's press release said about the bill he sponsored, and I quote, this bill will improve efforts to educate seniors on alternatives to traditional opioid pain medication through the Medicaid Part D program. Nearly one in three seniors on Medicaid Part D were prescribed an opioid during 2016. That statistic underlies just how prevalent the use of opioid painkillers is among seniors who often are dealing with issues stemming from chronic pain, end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, one of the best ways to combat the opioid crisis is to better educate the public on these risks and to educate them on alternatives. I am glad this common sense legislation has passed the House and will be included in a large package of opioid bills being sent to the Senate, end quote. On June 12th, Faso also voted for the Comprehensive Opioid Recovery Centers Act, which got 383 votes, with 13 Republicans voting against. Chris McKenna reports at the Fray that a U.S. House Republican Super Political Action Committee is reserving $1 million for advertisements to support Representative John Faso, the Republican of Kinderhook, in the congressional election this fall. The Congressional Leadership Fund is buying ad time for Faso and nine other Republican incumbents this year. Corey Bliss, executive director of the Super PAC, said in a press release on June 11th, and I quote, thanks to Speaker Paul Ryan and Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy's leadership in Congress, CLF continues to break fundraising records, allowing us to be more aggressive in adding new races and increasing our previous buys. These efforts ensure that CLF will have the resources needed to prevent Republican members of Congress from being outspent this fall, end quote. Seven Democrats are facing off in the June 26 primary election to face Faso in November. Among the Democrats, Antonio Delgado had more money in his coffers than Faso as of March 31st, with Pat Ryan and Brian Flynn slightly behind Faso's money on hand. And you can read that full story at the Fray.
On June 14th, Faso voted for the Thrive Act, which would force some people receiving vouchers for public housing into substance abuse programs. The bill passed 230 to 173, with only a few Republicans voting against and only a few Democrats voting in favor.
We'll be right back. Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, June the 18th, 2018. I'm Mike Clifford. First Lady Melania Trump makes a statement against separating kids from parents. Also on the Monday rundown, anti-hugger advocates applaud the newest farm bill. Plus, diaper duty is an economic burden for one in three families. Now our top story, First Lady Melania Trump urged both sides of the aisle to come together to stop federal authorities from separating children from their parents when apprehended at the border. The New York Times reports this was a rare public intervention in an issue that has generated enormous criticism of her husband. In a statement issued by her office, the First Lady expressed empathy for affected families, saying the country should be governed with a heart, but did not directly take issue with Trump's policy, instead saying both sides need to agree. Immigration rights advocates in Arizona and around the country are continuing to speak out against the Department of Homeland Security separating migrant children from their parents. We get the details from Catherine Davis Young.
About 2,000 children were separated from their families at the U.S.-Mexico border this spring, according to the Associated Press. The separations come as a result of a stricter Homeland Security policy to prosecute all adults who cross the border unlawfully. Since kids aren't charged with crimes, the department won't detain them with their parents. Petra Falcone is with immigrant rights organization Promise Arizona.
We as a nation need to pay attention to this, and we need some answers and some action to what this crisis is making these children live through.
Falcone's organization has joined together with Arizona religious leaders to condemn the family separations. Politicians from both parties, including Republican Arizona Senator Jeff Flake, have expressed concerns over removing children from their parents.
Over the weekend, Promise Arizona held a Father's Day vigil to call attention to the parents and children who couldn't spend the holiday together. And as Congress works to reauthorize a new farm bill by the end of September, Ross Brown reports those working to end hunger in the U.S. are encouraged that the latest version would help and not punish.
The comprehensive bill covers SNAP as well as farm subsidies, trade, and rural development policy. Colleen Moriarty with Hunger Solutions Minnesota says the farm bill is the biggest funding opportunity for anti-hunger work in the nation.
The Senate farm bill is a real signal of hope for the fact that we can come up with a farm bill that both helps agriculture and doesn't hurt poor people.
The farm bill is usually renewed every 5 years, and the current version is set to expire September 30th.
The total benefits paid out last year by SNAP nationwide were about $63 billion and went to more than 42 million Americans. And in a blow to the legislative branch in the Sunshine State, a Tallahassee judge has ruled that Florida lawmakers wrongly diverted money meant for buying and preserving environmentally sensitive lands.
On Friday, Leon Circuit Judge Charles Dodson sided with environmental groups in the lawsuit about whether lawmakers defied the 2014 Florida Water and Land Conservation Initiative, known as Amendment 1. Attorney David Guest, who represents groups such as the Florida Wildlife Federation and the Sierra Club, called the ruling a victory because after the constitutional amendment was approved by 75% of voters, he said lawmakers started nitpicking to avoid following the will of the people.
They had looked at commas, and they had come up with exotic definitions of words and ways of reading that that made it so they could do anything they wanted, and what they wanted to do was no buying land.
Fred Piccolo, a spokesman for House Speaker Richard Corcoran, called the ruling a clear abuse of judicial authority. He added that he's confident it will be overturned on appeal. Guest expects the case will be sent directly to the state Supreme Court for a final decision. I'm Tramell Gomes.
The ruling now postpones a week-long trial that was planned for July. And finally, diaper duty can certainly be stressful, and for some parents, it's a stress on not just their patients, but also their wallets. Here's Mary Sherman.
Nearly one in three families in the U.S. is affected by diaper need, which is a lack of access to clean diapers during the newborn, infant, and toddler years of a child's life. Elizabeth Roshan with the Association of Women's Health, Obstetric, and Neonatal Nurses explains an ample supply of diapers for just one child can cost families anywhere from $70 to $120 a month.
For some families, they're probably thinking that's nothing. But for other families, that amount of money is a considerable burden that really creates an economic hardship for those families to be able to afford clean diapers on a regular basis.
Roshan adds 3 out of 5 parents report missing work or school because they don't have enough diapers to send their little one to childcare or early education programs. The Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program and other public assistance programs do not cover the cost of diapers, but there is a national diaper bank network with local agencies providing assistance in 46 states. When a baby's skin is not consistently kept clean and dry, skin problems such as yeast infections can occur. But Roshan explains some parents have no other alternatives than to stretch their diaper supply.
Families who struggle with clean diapers or who struggle with a lack of clean diapers reuse diapers or will use diapers to a point where they're no longer safe to use against a baby's skin.
It's estimated that 2 million children age 5 and under don't have all the diapers they need to stay clean and stay dry. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week. Newsin' and Cruisin' with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.
Here is the regional weather forecast for the Hudson Valley and Capital Region.
From the WGXE newsroom, this is the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weather Update. The National Weather Service in Albany is predicting showers and thunderstorms likely, mainly after 5 p.m. today. Some of those storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. It will be mostly cloudy and hot, with a temperature high near 93 degrees and a heat index value as high as 99 degrees. There'll be a southwest wind at 11 to 13 miles an hour. The chance of precipitation is 60%. New rainfall accounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch, except higher amounts possible in thunderstorms. As for tonight, showers and thunderstorms are likely mainly between 10 p.m. and 1 a.m. Some of those storms could produce gusty winds and heavy rain. It will be cloudy with a temperature of around 68 degrees and a west wind at 3 to 7 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation tonight is 70%, with new rainfall accounts between a quarter and a half of an inch possible. Your forecast for the next 2 days: Tuesday, it will be mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with a high near 80 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly clear with a low around 56. And on Wednesday, mostly sunny with a high near 80 degrees. And Wednesday night, partly cloudy with a low around 58. Sunrise today was at 5:16 a.m., and the sun will set at 8:35 p.m. That gives us 15 hours and 18 minutes of daylight, 12 seconds more than yesterday. This has been the WGXE Hands-On Radio Weather Update. For news and more information, use the WGXE website, wgxe.org.
Coming up on the WGXE 90.7 FM community program schedule for Tuesday, June 19th, WGXE's Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive continues. Pete Levensee will be launching a full day of broadcasting live from historic Catskill Point and Freightmasters Building. Starting off with the WGXE morning show, in the second hour, Pete will be joined by Rob Cassetti, Senior Director of Creative Strategy and Audience Engagement for the Corning Museum of Glass. He'll be there to discuss the museum's glass barge, its voyage up the Hudson River and New York waterways, and the events planned for its one-day port of call on June 19th at Catskill Point. James White is back at 11 for the Music Maestro Hour. He'll be joined by Reverend Kim Singletary, host of There's a Bright Side Somewhere, and Alan Skerritt, host of Crossroads in Rhythm. Later on at 2 o'clock on Catskill Cabin Conversations, Mike and Andy invited one of their earliest guests back to the Catskill Cabin for an update on their last conversation from 2013 for a special Radio Everywhere Pledge Drive broadcast. And later on in the evening after the news hour, Lillian Hornhorse with Lily Konigsberg and Matthew Norman, live from the WGXC Hudson studio from 7 to 9:30.
Okay, people are kibitzing.
There's Dee Dee Barrett.
There's Assemblywoman Dee Dee Barrett. Dee Dee Barrett, would you like to come over and talk? We're live on the air at WGXC.
So keep it clean. You want to? You don't want your?
I always keep it clean.
You don't want your supporters to like abandon you?
I definitely don't want my supporters.
We're going to get a contribution from Dee Dee Barrett herself.
Yes.
The Dee Dee Barrett.
Yes.
No. Well, I thought we were.
Yeah. What are you doing?
We're raising funds for WGXC, your favorite local community radio station. And today we're out here at the farmers market with station celebrities. Slay Diddy, a.k.a. Kamal Johnson, and yours truly, Tom DiPietro, and the station manager, Lynn Sloniker. We're here, folks, live at the Hudson Farmers Market.
Bumper sticker. Support your local radio station.
There you go. Right from the assemblywoman's mouth.
Exactly.
And that's an order.
We may have to record that part.
Yes.
We need to support free and open press, free and open media here in our country more than ever. So
there you have it,
folks. Support your local radio station.
There you have it.
Thank you.
Spoken from above, so to speak.
Not above, of the people.
Of the people.
Of the
by
people.
The people. That's right. That's what all us politicians say.
This one too?
Yeah, you can take anything yeah. now.
I just want to put one on my...
Oh, that's not
that's a card.
Okay.
Yeah.
You want one, I
put
on
my... Yeah. See, this one has... that. You recognize that? That's Rip Van Winkle there.
Yes, I recognize
you did?
Rip
I didn't.
Everywhere.
I criticized it when I
you
saw it.
You thought it was somebody called Acra?
I thought it was a tree. I didn't see the Rip Van Winkle thing. Then I saw the pipe.
It took,
yeah,
and,
well, that's why you're an assemblywoman. And I'm just a local.
You're just
listening. He's in a gown
for Good luck, guys.
Thank you, Dee Dee. That was Dee Dee Barrett, folks, our assemblywoman who supports WGXC.
Yes.
Consider making a donation to the WGXC Spring Pledge Drive, Summer Pledge Drive. 518-697-7400. You can't tell if it's spring or summer around here. 518-697-7400 is the number to call. Or go online to wgxc.org/donate and make a donation to keep local radio live and local.
There are so many events on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org, and you can add your own by pressing the Add an Event button right there on the page. If you do, folks like me will read your community event on the radio. Folks around the world will see it online at wgxc.org, including some of these events.
Monday, June 18th, the Hudson Library has a nonfiction book group meeting. The group will discuss Hillbilly Elegy, a memoir of a family and culture in crisis by J.D. Vance. 6 p.m. Monday, June 18th at the Hudson Area Library. Greenville has a town board meeting Monday, June 18th at the Greenville Town Hall. The public is encouraged to attend all local public meetings they can. And if you go... and you have a phone in your pocket, why not take it out? Make a recording to share with your community or do a live web stream to share with your community. The WGXC app, available free in the App Store, will make it easy to share a web stream. And we can also help you make a recording and then we can upload it to the WGXC website and everyone will be able to hear what happened at your local meeting. Email info@wgxc.org for more information. Greenville Town Board meeting is Monday, June 18th at 7 p.m. Also Monday, June 18th, the Rip Van Winkle Amateur Radio Society meets at the Churchtown Firehouse at 7 p.m. It's the monthly meeting of the Rip Van Winkle Amateur Radio Society. It's held every third Monday of the month. Also Monday, June 18th, special live performance at the Spotty Dog Books in Anna. Well, they're all pretty special there, right? Elephant Micah performs. And Otto Hauser on drums and guitarist Alexander Turnquist also perform, the two Hudson performers. And Elephant Micah at the Spotty Dog Books and Ale. That's around 7:30 p.m. Monday, June 18th. Nelson and the Wolf performs ambient jazz and spoken word theater and cabaret Monday, June 18th at 8 p.m. at Club Helsinki in Hudson. On Tuesday, June 19th, another show at Club Helsinki in Hudson. There's always so much going on there. On the Fly Story Slam is Tuesday, June 19th. This month's theme is secrets.